Pre-wire. Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
So you're back on 95BFM. Finally, I'll be playing part one of a chat that I had with queer sex therapist and educator Sarita Das on queer sex, masturbation and shame, female pleasure and sex education in schools. We ended up having a much longer chat on navigating sex as a queer person of colour, fetishisation, which is, I'll air that next week, but I began this week's sexy chat with masturbation.
Masturbation is one of the things that we, among many, that we don't get taught about when it comes to sex and self-sex. So people don't know enough about it, so they think that whatever they do is weird, right? They're like, oh, I must be the only person in the world who masturbates like this. But let me break it to you. It's very, like, everyone is very similar as far as I've witnessed and experienced myself and talked to people about. It's a lot of, like, fast, quiet, tense muscles, shallow breathing. Does that sound familiar to you at all?
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Often eyes closed, maybe under the covers in winter, and maybe using either porn or a visual aid or fantasy and engaging your brain to access your desire and your feeling turned onness and not focusing on the actual physical sensations maybe as much. So focusing on your mental stuff. So anytime we're getting turned on in our head from fantasies and porn and whatever, that's a different type of arousal than just feeling arousal in your genitals or even just in your body in general. So I think that's something that maybe a lot of people have never made that distinction.
As a queer sex therapist and intimacy coach, I think a lot of people think of like sex therapist and they immediately jump to heteronormative concepts of sex and connection and intimacy. So I guess I'm wondering, in your work, how does that differ and how is it more supportive for the Rambo community and the queer community?
Well, it's a really fun answer. I just teach everyone how to have queer sex, no matter who they are. Because how we learn sex is heteronormative. And people who come to me who are on any side of orientation or gender presentation, we all have learned sex the straight way. And so anything that can queer your sex life, whether or not you're queer, is only a bonus. It's only a plus. Because it just means that you're doing something outside of that usual P&V situation that we, like, know now doesn't work for everybody. And so, yeah, I often teach straight people how to have queer sex. And by queer sex, I mean stuff that doesn't just involve P&V. Strangely, is like, we know that, but we don't practice it. We know that P&V isn't the only sex we can have if we're straight. And yet we always end up gravitating towards it. And it's so all of this is about being conscious about how we're having sex. And so when people come to like a somatic sex educator or a sex therapist, they've made that decision to be really conscious about their sex life and make a change. Because clearly if they're coming to me, like something's not working or they want something to be better. I think queering your sex life, no matter who you are, is the best thing you can do for masturbation, for sex. I guess maybe an example of that would be teaching straight couples how to be not aiming for orgasm during sex. So sounds counterintuitive, but if you've got somebody with a vulva and somebody with a penis and they both identify as cisgendered, like aiming for orgasm, and if you're queer as well, any way of being queer, we put so much pressure on the orgasm that then it doesn't happen. And then we wonder what's wrong with the sex that we're having.
Sex is only so little of it is actually the physical act of it. I feel like a lot of it is the intimacy and the connection. And so what would your tips be in terms of building that space?
Definitely. That's 100% true. Like sex is so little about the actual doing. If you're wanting to create more intimacy and more connection with your partner, I think a really good way to begin it is discovering what roles you need from sex. So I know personally as a queer person, I still struggle with heteronormative ideals of what roles people play during sex. And so as an AFAB person who used to date men, like my roles used to be quite limited. And then when I started dating people who have the same genitalia as me and, you know, identify as not being men, I couldn't figure out how to make those roles change. It's really hard. And so like even in the queer community, we're not exempt from those rigid gender roles within sex. So I think building intimacy in queer relationship be about communicating what those roles are for you personally. Or if you are into kinky stuff, like communicating that, because that is what builds that connection, is the slightly annoying part of communicating.
Especially in high school when they're just coming out or realizing their gender identity or sexual identity and the fluidity in that. There is so much shame associated with that. And so then you add another layer of sex, which seems so daunting and so scary. And then, yeah, sex can be a wonderful thing, but it can also be a very nervous, traumatic thing. And so what would your advice be in terms of breaking down the shame that's attached to sex in general, but also specifically queer sex?
I think shame is such a huge thing. I talked about shame a bit in my offerings over lockdown, and shame is like this thing that exists in the dark. And if you can bring light on it, it flies away. You need to acknowledge it for yourself. What are you feeling shameful about? Communicate it to someone who you trust and be able to get some validation around the fact that you're completely normal. Shame, no matter what it's about, whether it's about having sex or about being queer, it's the same thing. It's a feeling of fear, and it includes just like thinking that you're a weirdo and like you're nobody else is like you. If you can communicate it to people, you'll realize very soon that you are actually not the only person who experiences what you're experiencing. And I think as somebody who, people who've come out maybe later in life, that fear and that shame of maybe not knowing how to have queer sex is like a big one as well. Or people who are coming out when they're young, just being like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So shame just in general, if you can safely talk about it with someone, that is the first step to getting rid of it, because part of being human is feeling these things, because we live in the society that has had put shame around sex for so long. Different genders have different avenues for shame. So like if you grew up female, there's a lot of shame about being a slut, or a lot of shame about being a prude, and you can never win. And if you grew up like male or identified as male, you had a lot of shame around like penis stuff, like not lasting long enough or finishing too early. Like all of this stuff is just ingrained into us. And so I think talking about it is definitely the first step.
I also wanted to pick your brain on what you thought sex education in high schools and in general. Do you think we've got a good enough, inclusive enough?
No. It's actually quite a current topic for me. I used to always shy away from the school conversation because they don't let me anywhere near schools because I talk about pleasure. God forbid.
My goodness.
And I think that's what's missing. What's missing is the importance that's placed on pleasure, because if you include pleasure in the importance of pleasure in any sex education for young people, you automatically include female pleasure if it's a straight sex ed that you're teaching, and you're automatically including queer pleasure, because when you talk about just, because the sex education I received, and I think a lot of people my age received, was like STDs, pregnancy, like maybe some body changes you might go through in puberty. Sex is penis in a vagina until the penis ejaculates. Where in that picture is room for the clitoris and pleasure from female bodies? There's nothing taught in there about pleasure. And kids aren't stupid. They know that sex feels good. Like, we're not telling them something new, you know? They know that it's supposed to feel good. I think there's this fear that if we tell kids that sex is supposed to feel good, that they'll go and do it. But surprise, they're doing it anyway. So if we can't teach them about how to have pleasure safely, then we're not really doing our jobs. And I think abstinence teaching is so full of shit, because you just, like, look at the rates of pregnancies that happen for young people. Look at the, like, amounts of trauma that they go through if they have to, have an abortion. It's happened. You can't just turn your eyes away and ignore that kids are going to make stupid choices, you know? So we need to equip them and give them tools to do it safely, not just the physical side, but the emotional side. Where is the communication? Where's the education around how to have a relationship, how to know if someone's being emotionally abusive? There's nothing to teach people about how to navigate those relationships. I know when I was young, I had some terrible relationships because nobody told me that if somebody treats you like XYZ, you need to go away. Do not get taught that. Maybe, hopefully, your parents teach you, but the communication around consent and boundaries, that is not present. So we're really not doing the right job in terms of sex education when it comes to pleasure and talking about boundaries and talking about touch and talking about how to feel connected to your body so that you can know when you're feeling a yes or a no in your body. And that's what I try and help people with.
Flashback suddenly to year 12, and the only thing I took away from sex ed was how to put on a banana-flavored condom on a plastic dick.
And yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of pushback from even just having compulsory sex education in schools. I think that we're actually starting at such a base level of not even having something there.
I would even go as far as to say that a good pleasure-based, queer-inclusive, trans-inclusive, everything-inclusive, rigorous, age-appropriate, so you have different stages of sex education throughout your school life, is an incredibly huge first step to sexual violence prevention. Because if people are taught how to feel a boundary and how to respect a boundary in somebody else, that is the first step to stopping sexual violence, I think. So we're nipping it in the bud by teaching kids when they're younger how to respect other people's boundaries. And that's just not getting taught.
And yeah, I wanted to ask more about having healthy and safe sex. Because I think that, again, the conversation is at such a baseline, right? It's like no STIs. And I guess, you know, in high school, we are being taught about to respect, you know, a no. But I think within that, there's actually so much more of what healthy, safe sex looks like. So what does that look like?
Healthy, safe sex is communication. It's knowledge of your own body and it not having expectations of another person so that you can figure out what it is that you both want together. All of the stuff that we've been taught about sex through, let's face it, I learned sex through porn. I learned sex through, like, magazines. I'm sure a lot of people did too. They didn't learn it from school and they probably didn't learn it from their parents. Maybe they learned about it from their friends. But what we learned was, like you said before, about the physical act of sex. If you want healthy, safe sex, you need to be able to communicate what it is that you want. And the first thing is knowing what it is that you want. You might not even know. Learning how to do that. And then the second part is how to communicate that to your partner or partners. And that's like integral to being able to have healthy, safe sex.